last night, excuse me, last night we took the first part of the hope of his calling and outlined how God calls us for a personal relationship with his son, through his son, and this was God's way of providing salvation for us and making us justified in his son. In the second session this morning, we talked about God calling us to listen to his voice and that he speaks to us today, and his revelations are in this communication, and talked about the seven ways that at least God speaks to us. Now we want to go and see, how can we discern this calling? Well, God has a unique voice, and as we said earlier, he says in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep know my voice. So it's a matter of knowing his voice. But when life is happening, we want to know, is this God speaking to me? Or is it self? Or is it the devil? Or is it peer pressure? What is it? How can I differentiate that this is really God speaking to me? You see, it's not that God is not interested in everything we say and do. He is. He counts the hairs on our head and those that fall. And he knows even every teardrop that drops from our eyes. So he's really interested in the very intricate parts of our lives. But sometimes life is life. Things happen. Doors open, doors close, jobs are lost, health changes, the deal on the house we wanted falls through, we don't get the scholarship we had hoped for. You know, life happens to all of us. And yet, I honestly believe that God will use our circumstances to speak to us. He used a burning bush to speak to Moses. I wish he'd use one to speak to me sometimes. At least I could feel and see the warmth, especially today with the cold weather. I think I'd pay more attention to that. And I think that's part of the problem. One thing I've personally observed is that we often expect God to speak in the grandiose voice of God. We think we're that important that God has to speak to us in a certain particular way. But God speaks that way sometimes. At least in my life, God is more subtle than that. God often speaks through some of my quiet moments, through other people, as we said earlier, and through ordinary life circumstances. But in this crowded life we are living in, with so many noises and life distractions, sometimes it's hard to understand what God is saying, isn't it? How do we, in the midst of those circumstances, as mixed up and confusing as they can be, figure out what God could be saying to us? Is really the question. First, I have to say this, it begins and ends in a relationship. If you don't have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, start there. Because if you don't have a relationship, you won't hear anything. or you won't be able to recognize anything. I suggest, and by now you know that I like the number seven. I suggest to you there are seven thoughts on hearing God speak through circumstances of life. Number one is, mirror your circumstances with the truth of God's word. God will never contradict himself, as we said. He'll never speak to us, even through our circumstances, in a way that contradicts his written word. He's not going to tell you something that he is going to say against this book. I hear people at times claim God is telling them to do something that is in violation with what God has already said. That's never God. I was counseling a young lady the other day, and she said, oh, well, you know, I know the Bible says, be not unequally yoked, but I love him, Auntie Nighty, and I really want to marry this guy, and maybe I'll bring him to the Lord. Well, wait a minute. Is this really from the Lord? Oh, I have peace about it. I said, well, the peace is coming from a source that is not God. We have to be very careful when we say something that contradicts the word of God. So mirror your circumstances with the truth of God's word. Whatever your circumstance is, go into the word of God and find out if there is a story about it, if there is a principle about it, if there is an instruction about it before you do anything, before you believe that it is God's word or somebody else's. Second, God uses people to confirm his voice. Even in circumstances, in my experience at least, God often sends people into my path to confirm his will for our life. People who attempt to follow God with their life can help us to hear from God. Have always at hand some godly person around you, man or woman or whoever you have a confidant in. And especially if they are really godly, they will help you in sorting out. This is what counseling is all about. You don't tell people really what to do, but you encourage them in following God's leading. You see, every time God has called me to something, there has been others to confirm their hearing the same calling. I've often had to cycle through the naysayers to hear them, but they are there. I seek out wisdom of others. When the elders of my assembly met with me 7-8 years ago, and said, we want you to do Christian counseling, my first reaction was, I'm not qualified. I can't do it. I don't know. They said, just pray about it because we feel you are, and you're already doing it. And I think the wisdom of my elders was very helpful because it gave me the strength to go to the Lord and say, is this from you, Lord, or is it just me wanting to fill the void after my husband passed? And you know, it was the confirmation from the godly men in my assembly that really encouraged me and supported me and prayed for me every week. Every week, the elder who gives the announcement says, let's pray for Nadia this week. She's doing this. They're praying for me right now in British Columbia, somewhere where I thought I was coming for warm weather, but otherwise. And for the counseling. So every step, they are not only confirmed the Lord's leading, but also are following through with the support. confirm his voice by other godly people. Thirdly, recognize that God operates from a plan. He has a plan for each one of our lives. Remember the verse in Jeremiah? He has a plan for you. I don't know what his plan is for you. I didn't even know the plan it was for me. And sometimes in circumstances you wonder, what next? But Proverbs 16:9 says, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. There's a guy who sold millions of books telling us that we should live our life with a purpose. Living with a purpose. This is one of the books that they used to give us when we were in leadership roles in the medical profession. Oh, you have to live with a purpose. Well, in my case, it was God's purpose, not man's purpose, or achieving excellence, or whatever it is. Looking back over my personal life, I could never have scripted it. But I see how God has used me according to an overall plan. He's used my life experiences to shape me for where I am today. He's used my educational, medical, residential in ways I can see now for his honor and glory. I didn't see them 30, 40, 50 years ago. So you have to follow God's plan. And it's not that he reveals it all to you at once. Day by day, and with each passing moment, the hymn's writer says, strength I need. Strength for what, Nadia? For what is going to come tomorrow, which I don't know. But I have to trust. You see, sometimes in my counseling, my educational background, as well as my medical background, as well as the experiences I've had in my life, I now know the Lord allowed me to go through that. He was preparing me for something else. Now, I wouldn't have known that 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Everything you are going through, the Lord is preparing you, or is preparing you for something else that you don't know. Or you may not know, except when the time comes. But it is his plan, not yours. So we have to be in his will. That's why when you pray every day, Lord, show me what you have for me today in your plan. Day by day, he will show you. He will open the paths. He will show you. He will direct you. And not only so, my Lord is so wonderful. He even enables you to do whatever he wants you to do. It's not you that are doing it. You think I'm standing here to speak in my own power? No. I'm totally dependent on the Lord. And that's the way we ought to live our Christian life. Dependent on him. Operating on his plan, not my plan. Fourthly, examine your circumstances in light of God's overall plan. When trying to hear from God through the circumstances of life, we should not try to make a decision on one event or set of circumstances. Circumstances may or may not be God speaking to us. We should look at our life over a span of months or years. Sometimes we're very narrow-sighted, short-sighted. Narrow this way and short this way. That's what we do with our circumstances. But look at the big picture. Look what your decisions, what you're doing, how God is leading you in the big picture that he has for you. Jeremiah 29:11, as we said, tells me that God has a definite plan. It's not haphazard. It's very well thought through. But it is his plan for you, not for me. But it would take the people 70 years to get there, didn't it? We often miss that part when celebrating that verse, you know. When we look at our life over time, we'll be able to see what God has been doing. Sometimes hindsight, we say, is 20/20. Yes, I can now see why the Lord brought me to the land of snow and polar bears and Inuits. Very, very quite different. That's true. You see, it's not only my experience. It's many people's experiences. Before we recognize and obey the voice of God, we've got to be in his will. Before God called me into my current ministry, the voices speaking into my life were many. I was available at the time, in between business careers. There were tons of confirmations and signs, and I had to view my life in the context of God's master plan. Took an early retirement and did all sorts of things with my husband and traveled all over to strengthen the small assemblies and so on. The Lord knew that this is what we needed to do. Fifthly, don't allow circumstances to keep you from hearing or obeying God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8 to 9, but I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door for effective work has opened to me and there are many who oppose me. The common sense thing to do when everyone opposes you would be to leave. But Paul knew the circumstances were not indicative of God's will for his life. How did he develop this sensitivity and understanding? He was walking and following close to the Lord. He had a direct, as we would call it today, he had him on speed dial. Isn't that what the young people are saying? Sometimes our circumstances may look gloomy, but we haven't heard the truth of our circumstances until we've heard from God. Some of us, and I'm sure many in this room, have gone through difficult trials and circumstances. I know I've been through some too. You see, and this is when the Lord speaks to you actually the closest. Because you put your hands up and you say, I can't do anything about this. I gotta trust the Lord. Well, it should be from the very beginning, not as a last resort. Fear is a great tool of the enemy. The devil can use circumstances also to lead us away from God. This is where the scripture and other people you trust can help you discern. Be very careful. The devil is waiting for you to go through an undescribable or explainable circumstance to drive you away from the Lord. He has done that to many. Unfortunately, many have fallen into his plans of driving them away from the Lord. That said, many young people I've known have left their faith even because of a tough circumstance. Rather than seeing the Lord's hand in it, they did not see except the devil's hand in it. Sixthly, ask God to show you his perspective on the circumstances. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13. Sometimes we seek the Lord, but not with all our heart. Sort of, you know, we're not really thinking very much about giving him all our heart. We're trying to do it our way, and one foot here and one foot there. One foot with the Lord and one foot in the world. One foot, I would like to do this, and one foot, what would the Lord have me do? Or why is this happening to me in my circumstance? But if I seek my Lord with all my heart, just go to him with all your heart. You know, as followers of God, we will spend our whole life trying to discern the will of God for our life, listening for his voice. If we desire to hear from God through our circumstances, we must intently listen for the voice of God. Sharpen your ears to hear what the Lord would have you do, or why is he allowing a certain thing in your life to happen. This is his calling. When life is coming at us, we cannot seem to understand what's going on. We shouldn't be afraid to ask for clarification. Lord, show me your hand through this experience. Show me what I should do and what I shouldn't do. What did you mean by that, Lord? Explain to me. That's what seeking is all about. Many times I think I know what God is saying, but it's in the seasons of questioning that I am more intentional to go back to him for clarification. I've even taken days away to intentionally listen during the confusing times. It takes time with the Lord to understand why things are happening and getting clarification. Seventhly, God's primary desire in speaking is for eternal purposes. It's for eternal purposes. We limit God to this finite world we're living in when we fail to remember he's an infinite God. When we're trying to discern God's voice through the circumstances of life, we should consider how what is happening around us fits into God's eternal plan to save a lost world from destruction and to mold his children into the image of his dear son. You know, the word predestination is not used in scripture for a place. The only predestination you are predestinated to is to become like his son. That's what he's molding you and me for. God's primary activity will be in these areas of our life. It is always his desire to bring you closer to him. But you have to be willing to be more like him, to think like him, to behave like him. It's very important to hear from God. It's critical for the children of God to know God's will for our life. Our mission is to learn how to hear his voice. We must listen intently, carefully for his voice through the crowd of noises of the in the world in which we live. Thankfully, God has not given up on us, but is still speaking to his people today. And are you, and am I, in a season of trying to hear from God, or to hear from people, or to hear the things that make us feel good? I used to work with a very nice person who was the dean of medicine, and when he used to come to me, my office was on the fourth floor and his was on the first floor. When he used to come up to the fourth floor and he'd say, "Nadia, I want to take your opinion about this." And I say, "You want me to tell you what you want to hear? Or you want me to tell you?" He says, "I didn't come up all four floors to hear what I want to hear. I want to know what you really think about this." And as his associate dean, I used to say, "Well, I think you're right in this. I think you're wrong in this." And I used to have the freedom to tell him what I thought about the situation. That's the same way the Lord treats us, you know. If we go to him to hear what he wants, what we want to hear, he's going to say, "That's not me. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what is good for you. Not what you want, but what you need for a good growth spiritually." How can I know I'm hearing God, hearing Satan, or hearing my own thoughts? Well, life is full of decisions, and we must make that do not have absolute, specific by name, how-to directions in the Bible. We don't have that. How many hours a day should my kids watch TV? Is it okay to play shoot them up video games? Or am I allowed to go on a date with a coworker? Or does God get mad if I miss work because I stayed up too late the night before? And so on and so forth. Questions that come to me in counseling. We all have notions about the truth. Am I hearing God? Am I asking God's directions? What is glorifying to God? That's what I should do. Is this the honest, the truth? I like Philippians 4:8. Whatever things are true and think on these things. Make it a sort of a list of things that you go through. The most common ways God communicates are through the Bible and the leading of the Holy Spirit, as we said. God can use godly mentors to provide wise counsel, as Proverbs 12:15 tells us. If God wants to speak to us, nothing can stop him. He's going to get to us the message. But are we listening? Our calling is to listen to him. And not only listen, but to be obedient to what he instructs us to do. Pray about it. When I'm concerned about something in a decision or a circumstance, or is this really God's voice, I will communicate with him in prayer. If you are confused, it's good to pray for it, for wisdom James 1:5. He will give you liberally. Ask the Lord to give you wisdom. May not be a clear-cut thing or a very serious thing, but He'll give you the wisdom. You see, when we pray, we must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind, like we were this morning. If we have no faith, we should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Do you have the faith? Do you pray for wisdom? To discern God's voice? Talking to God in prayer earnestly? Waiting for His response? We certainly go to the Lord, SOS prayers. Lord, bless my kids, bless my grandkids, keep them safe, do this and do that. It's almost like the to-do list for the Lord of the day. That's not prayer. When we pray earnestly and wait on the Lord, He will direct us. He will speak to us. He will show us what to do and what not to do. You see, sometimes He doesn't give us all the answers we desire. He knows what we need to know at any given time. He will tell us if it is best. Study the Word of God. I cannot say more about knowing the Word of God is going to get you out of a lot of trouble. If you don't have that in your memory bank, you're missing out on all the blessings, all the calling, the hope of His calling. And listen to the Holy Spirit's voice. Some things you could ask yourself, practical things. Does this go against the Word of God? Will following these promptings lead to sin? Those who live by the Spirit will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Galatians 5:16. Seek counsel from a Christian friend, a family member, a godly man or woman. Proverbs 15:22. God does not want us to fail. God wants us to trust Him. And as for tips, what can I leave with you in practical terms? Again, my first question that I ask myself is, what does the Bible say about it? Go into the Bible and search if there is something specific about the circumstance or the problem or the situation that you're in, and see if there are specific instructions about it so that you don't do the wrong thing, and get some help if you need. This is where God's voice is. This is what His book of instructions and is from Him directly without any man's He used men to write those books, but He didn't really get them to write their own opinion. It was God breathed by the Holy Spirit. So it's really a Holy Spirit inspired word. If there is a clear command that you must do something, or a clear command that you must not do something, if the Bible speaks directly to the issue, you've got to obey it right away. When making a decision, this is your first big question, and it's the most important one of all. What does God say in His Word? is there anything specific I can learn? Of course, not every question has an immediate and easy answer of yes or no. But I must dedicate time every week, at least, to meet as part of the local church, to learn from others. Because sometimes I go to the meeting, I get nothing from the speaker, but I get something from a hymn that is sung, a prayer that is said. We have a 100-year-old brother in our assembly. When he stands up to pray on the Lord's Day, nothing moves me to worship like this man's prayer. Wonderful. It isn't, it's the not forsaking the assembling of one another. Why? It's not just the fellowship and the food and the fun that we have with others, which is part of it, but it's more than that. It's God speaking to you through your fellow believers. And he may speak to you through a hymn, a song, a word, a verse, or even somebody put their arms around you and tell you something on your way out. That may be why you went for that meeting. So don't go and say, oh, I don't get nothing out of it. I don't like the speaker. Well, I may agree with you. Some of them are not very nice, but or I don't get anything out of them. But that's not the reason I'm going there. I'm not going to get as much as I'm going to give. And maybe the Lord will use you to help somebody else. And that's the reason for you to go. And question number two is, what is the wisest choice? Okay, I didn't find much about the topic in my Bible. But what is the wise choice for me? Ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom from God. Pray about it. And decide what is your wisest way of dealing with the subject. Because remember, you're not deciding only between good and bad, but between better and best. How can you best use the gifts and opportunities God has given you? Think of Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. Different thinking, different approach, God's perspective, not my perspective, is what I'm seeking for. That's the wise way. God is renewing your mind every day so you can have this wisdom and do what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, be wise. Use your mind. Use your Bible. Use the cumulative wisdom of your brothers and sisters in Christ and make decisions that reflect a well-trained, spirit-led mind. Of course, after thinking through the wisdom of a decision, you may find that you still have questions. Maybe you look to the Bible and you pray and you talk to friends and you look for counsel from other believers, and at the end of it all, it doesn't seem like either decision would be unwise. That brings you to the final question, which is, what do you want to do? What would make you comfortable to do? What do you want to do? What desires has God given you? I really wanted to go into medicine. It was my desire too. And yes, we prayed, and yes, we searched. I mean, nothing in the Bible tells me to go to medicine or versus engineering versus whatever. No, but lots of prayer, lots of thought. I was only 16 when I got into medicine. But it was going to make me happy because I was going to do this and I was going to do that. Well, it brought me joy for sure. It excited me, yes. But the Lord had other purposes in mind. He put that desire in my heart for another reason. Not to serve him in Africa, but to serve him elsewhere. And even the jobs I had and the positions I had and everything I had had something to do with the preparation for the work of the Lord. What an awesome God we have. And yes, he has a unique voice and he calls us to discern this unique communication that he has for us. To further us, to make us spiritually grow, to make us more like his dear beloved son, so that one day he will receive us in glory. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we bow to give you thanks for the word of God. We thank you that you are still speaking to us today. We thank you, Lord, that you are a prayer-hearing God. And we thank you, Lord, that you are interested in every aspect of our lives and that you have a plan for each one of the ladies here. We thank you, Lord, that we say these things with assurance and with knowing that because you said it, it is true. We trust you for it, Lord, and we commit every life bowed here to you. You know the hearts. You know the needs, you know the even wants. We pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself in a real way to each one of us today, speaker and listeners alike, that we may be stirred to grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be more like him, to listen more, to understand more, to be in the word more, to pray more, to be with other believers more, and all to hear God's voice so that we would be obedient and living in your will, because we ask this in the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.